you know, managing clients is important. I mean, my tip to anybody is go on recommendations.
Welcome to Brave Bold Brilliant Podcast. I'm here today with Naveed Yousaf, who is the founder and managing partner of Burra Thorpe Solicitors, a specialist in conveyancing and all-time legal eye. Great to have you, Naveed. How are you?
Thank you. Welcome. Really pleased to join your famous podcast. And obviously, we know each other, so that helps. But yeah, this is the first for me. So hopefully, first of many. But yeah, really excited to join your podcast. And thank you for inviting me, Jenna. Really appreciate that.
You are very welcome, Naveed. And as you say, you know, we've met each other through the world of property. We have been clients of yours and will continue to be clients of yours going forward. So, you know, I only have quality guests, Naveed. So at least I know firsthand how good you are. So, you know, just a little bit of a plug for you there. But no, I mean, it's great because, you know, seriously, it's sometimes the world of property, legal side, conveyancing, it can be a bit of a minefield for people, especially if you're new to even buying a first home, or if you're new as an investor, even with a simple buy to let, it can be quite a bit of a dark art to it. So to have experts like you, you know, able to share your knowledge and experience is hugely valuable. So that's going to be amazing. To get going, Naveed, what I'd like us to do, if it's okay with you, do you want to just give us a little bit of, you know, a short bio, a bit of a plotted history to introduce yourself, how you've ended up with you actually having your own practice now, which is fantastic. But tell us about the journey a little bit.
No problem. Yeah. So I've been qualified as a solicitor for nearly 12 years and working in law for 15 years. Journey actually started in 2007. And you'll recall, they finished law school. Training contracts is that's what you need to be able to qualify as a solicitor. They were far few in between. So I really struggled getting my foot into a door. Not many law firms were offering jobs. And I was fortunate enough to have secured a position at a small specialist conveyancing firm just on the outskirts of Peterborough, which provided me with the best experience. I mean, if I didn't have that, I don't think I'd be where I am today in terms of conveyancing knowledge, and spent a good 15 months there. But we were in a recession, so the market was quiet. But I was too young to really understand what a recession was. You know, for me, it was a job. I was grateful to have a job. And from there, you know, things kickstarted, and I got the training contract. And I was always interested in property, you know, from studying law. For me, property, corporate, commercial, that's what really ticked my boxes. Was never really into family or wills and probate or litigation. And I also come from a family where, you know, parents, relatives invest in property. So it just clicked, you know, it was just a natural click. And that's the route I went down, and, you know, built up experience, and here I am today, you know, with 15 years under my belt. And I've obviously recently set up my own firm called Burra Thorpe. Previously, I was at a large national regional firm specializing in conveyancing and commercial property. And for me, everyone has that moment in life, don't they? I needed something more. Probably part of that was, you know, I come from a family of my father was a chartered accountant with his own business. And I thought, no, I can't just be working, you know, I've got to do something different. And I decided to set up my own law firm. A lot of people will say, you're crazy, because the market is currently quiet. And small firms tend not to survive. So what do? You say, well, I know better. And it was a challenge. Setting up a law firm is not easy. So much red tape. And professional indemnity insurance is the biggest cost. And that wasn't easy to get. And if you're also specializing in conveyancing, that's the highest risk for insurers. So because one claim, you know, it can cost thousands into hundreds of thousands. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And I've went for it on my own, which again is another challenge, you know. And you know, whatever savings I had have gone into this, and here we are today, set up with nearly a staff count of around 13, and we've only been going for a couple of months, and there's more staff to come. So I'm proud, you know, of myself, and so is my family. But yeah, it's been, you know, with business, it's never easy. Lots of sleepless nights. But I just decided that I needed more in my life. I couldn't just remain as an employed solicitor. I needed more. And from being employed, the next step is to be your own boss. And I thought I had enough experience, you know, 10 to 15 years of working in law. I thought, you know, I've got enough. I can't claim to know it all. No, but nobody knows it all. You know, law is ever evolving and you're always learning. But I thought I've got enough to be able to set my own firm. And, you know, business, you're learning every day. And here we are today. And yeah, lots more to come.
Fantastic. Well, no, I'm delighted for you on a personal note. I know how, you know, it's not easy to do these things, and to take, you know, the approach to risk plays a part, you know. So if someone who's a business owner is maybe listening to this and in a job and wanting to kind of jump out and be their own boss and set their own thing up, you know, it isn't easy. And sometimes you have to take a bit of a leap of faith, have a plan, but it's not all going to go according to plan. So when you actually made that final decision, Naveed, had it been coming for quite a while? Because there's a few approaches to this. You know, you can just leave your job and go, right, I'm just going to throw myself. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll figure it out later. You can, if you're more risk averse, you maybe have a plan and you have, you know, finance in place and you've already got that ready before you make the move. Or some people, maybe the situation is forced upon them because there's a change in the organization, which means they've got an exit option that they never had. So, you know, with those three scenarios, jump out of the plane with no parachute or with a little bit of a parachute, or, you know, and or plan and have something, you know, that you can actually go to with, I suppose, less of a risky approach. How, where did you sit in that, do you think?
So, I mean, I was very comfortable in my previous role, in terms of job security and financial security. I was comfortable, unfortunately, in the sense that I have a wide range of clients and quite loyal clients. That's first and foremost, which obviously only applies in my profession. It was always in the back of my head that maybe one day I will open up my own law firm. But you're always looking into the market, you know, and you hear about the smaller law firms who are just disappearing off the high street. And then you've got some of the medium to large firms who are now merging together. And it's happening quite a lot with accountants. You may have come across it, but, you know, accountants are now merging. So that was something to obviously weigh in. You know, I'm going to be a small high street firm. Am I going to survive? In terms of financing, you've got to have the financing in place, you know. So this is all self-funded. You know, I've not borrowed any money. I don't owe any money. This is all my money. This is, of course, this is my savings, which has set up the business and will continue to fund the business for the next 2 or 3 years. Yes, there is income now coming in to the firm, but still a lot of the capital has been introduced by myself. You've got to obviously have the capital. You can forecast what you might need, but trust me, once you're set up, things change, you know, and those business plans or forecasts, they start to change. So you've got to have those in place. You've got to believe in yourself. You have to back yourself. I mean, there's no point doing this. I mean, I'm not saying opening up a law firm is the most difficult business, but it could be towards the top of the list. because of the red tape. And when you start getting your quotes for professional indemnity insurance, it does make you think twice. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was a challenge getting a quote because these insurers, they're not interested in startup firms. To them, it's high risk. So you're getting rejected. You start to doubt whether this is the right thing to do. When you do eventually get your quote and you have a look at the premium, you think, oh God, maybe this is not for me. So I've always believed in myself, you know, and I've never had a business before. So this is new to me, but I back myself 100%. And I know that providing that I put in the hard work, this will be a success. So you really got to clear your mind out before you start going through with the idea, because you don't want to be halfway through and then you start doubting yourself. This was probably 2 to 3 years of brainstorming, getting things ready, getting your business plan, fine-tuned, you know. So it's not like opening up a barber shop. There's a lot of work that needs to happen. So this was 2 or 3 years in the making. When I had obviously cleared my mind and said, right, I'm going for this, this is going to be a success, I start then putting in the hard work of getting things together, because then it's too late to back out. And here we are now, where the firm is now set up, systems are in place, staff are in place, new staff are joining, and it's now, you know, I've always said there's different, you know, there's maybe two ways of running a startup business, you know, and I've got a lot of friends who are business people. One method is you recruit slowly, you know, so you add a staff member as and when the business needs it. The other, which is the approach I've taken, is you just put all your chips on the table and you bring in staff. So I always said, I'd rather have the staff, the work will follow.
Yeah.
Rather than recruiting one staff at a time, because, you know, when you're young, you've got the energy, you want to really go for it and kind of have an accelerated growth, but you don't want to get ahead of yourself by going over the top with recruitment, for example, because at the end of the day, who's funding the recruitment? You know, this is, you know, so it that comes down to the individual. I'm not gambling here, but what I've said to myself is you either go for it, because if it failed, you know, and, you know, there's no guarantee any business will be a success, but you want to tell yourself you tried. And you gave everything. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Worst case, if this never worked out, I can just go back to being a solicitor. So what do I lose? Okay, you may lose money, but you can make money, you know, you can make money back. But at least I know I am giving 110% into this business every day to try and make this a successful business. And accelerated growth, I like that. It's exciting, you know, routine. And I'm just grateful for the way that things are going at the moment. And, you know, I'm in the market for dynamic staff, you know, people who are going to really add value to the business. But we've only been open a short time, you know, and there are people, you know, working at other firms who are reaching out, saying you're making a lot of noise there, you know, and that, you know, it's great. So yeah, if what advice would I give to a startup is get, you know, from a mental point of view, you've got to believe in the project before you start to implement your ideas, because I've seen people who've backed out at the last minute and they've wasted their money, time. So believe in yourself that it will be a success.
And I think that's absolutely spot on, Naveed. And you know, being a business owner isn't for everyone. You know, some people are just better in a job and working for an organization and adding value that way, and that's fine. But you know, one of the things you were saying, which really resonates with me as you were talking, was around, you know, don't be afraid to fail. You know, the chances are, you know, you'll make a huge success of this. You know, you've put the right building blocks in place, but you can't control everything, and things can happen that may mean that, you know, things aren't 100% perfect, or maybe the business doesn't do what you want it to do, but you've given it the best shot. But here's the thing, at least you tried, right?
Exactly.
So I'm sure it'll be brilliant, you know, and you'll be hugely successful. But if you never start, you're never going to know.
Exactly.
You know, so I think for people, and that applies to business, it applies to life, it applies to relationships, it applies to, you know, whatever. But if you've got a feeling inside of you that you want to do something, don't not do it. Don't be one of these people that goes to their, you know, their grave thinking, oh, I could have done this, I should have done this, you know. No, give it a go. And then let's see what comes, you know.
Exactly, exactly. That's the mentality you need to have before anything, because if you don't believe in yourself, probably not going to work. And so I've always backed myself as a lawyer, you know, and okay, this is a new business for me. I've never had a business before, but I backed myself that I can be a business owner as well as being a lawyer, which is a challenge, you know, because, you know, the lawyer side is quite stressful as it is. And then on top of that, you've got to be a business owner and manage your staff and premises. But I believed in myself. I thought, you know, I can do this. And, you know, I've put everything into this, you know, which, you know, my wife might say, well, you risked everything. But at the end of the day, I need to know that I can set up and run a law firm. You know, it's something I need to take off, that I've tried it, you know, I'm confident this will be a success, but I need this in my life, you know. Don't want to be, what if, you know, I should have done this. I'm not that type of individual. So yeah, it's believe in yourself, I think, is probably the.
Yeah, absolutely, and a good friend prior mentor of mine, Rob Moore. He would say, you know, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything. And I think that's kind of a good way of summarizing it as well, Naveed, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You've got to put everything in, but not be crazy, you know.
Yeah. Keep the craziness at bay. So Naveed, let's talk a little bit about the market and the sort of the legal side of things and conveyancing, you know, because obviously there's been quite a lot of volatility in the last 12 months. I mean, certainly, you know, I think a lot of investors are maybe viewing their property investments, their portfolios probably slightly differently than maybe they did 12, 18 months ago. So let's just talk about, you know, the kind of the last few months and the last 12 months and how that's been. And then I'm really interested in your thoughts about the future in terms of kind of the property market, finance, etc. And then after that, I'd like to get into a bit more on the legals and the conveyancing side of things. So yeah, the market, what's happening in the market, Naveed? What are your thoughts?
So with conveyancing, I mean, we all conveyancers, you know, anyone, we came out this stamp duty holiday and that burnt a lot of people out because of the long hours and the tight pressures. And now the market is a bit quiet. So some conveyancers are probably really happy that the work has slowed down because they can recover from the, you know, the stamp duty holiday, which was really intense. The market is slowly starting to rise, and you'll see some of the high street lenders are dropping interest rates. Unfortunately, the problem with, if we just tap onto the first time buyers, is the government's got rid of the Help to Buy. So new houses are currently on pause and selling because, you know, the 20% Help to Buy has completely disappeared, which makes it difficult for first-time buyers. I mean, the stamp duty is still quite generous, you know, to first-time buyers. But the market will start to pick up from spring. And you can see with the interest rates dropping, and the recent stats which were released from the land registry is that transactions since November are starting to now go up slowly. So I believe by spring we should have more activity, especially in the first time buyer market. I mean, buy to let, it varies, because I've got so many buy to let clients that, you know, I have some buy to let clients who are, you know, selling up, you know, but equally I have buy to let clients who are still purchasing, you know, as long as the numbers are correct. Yes, the interest rates are a lot higher now on a buy-to-let mortgage, but the rental demand in England is still strong. I live in Peterborough. This has such a great rental demand in Peterborough, you know. So it's different clients are doing different things, you know, buy-to-let. So there isn't, I couldn't say all the buy to let investors are now selling. They're not. Some are still sticking with what they have, and there are some who are still buying. So it's that's the three trends I've seen with buy to let. But from a personal point of view, I do invest, and I'm currently holding back, purely because the profit margin is quite low, and the work you need to put in to managing a buy to let, it's, for me, it's just not worth it at the moment. So I've personally held back, but there is still a lot of activity happening in the buy to let market, and housing market. I believe from spring, you know, the general election may help. But it is slowly starting to pick up.
Well, I mean, listen, we're coming off the back of, you know, a few years of the market overheating, right, and prices going crazy.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
You know, so actually you could argue we're just getting back to a more normal level playing field, and it's just recovering to a plateau where it actually naturally should be. So I think there's that perspective. And when it comes to sort of, you know, more commercial stuff then, Navid, you know, the high street has been under pressure for, gosh, years and years, way before COVID, in terms of retail and, you know, that side of things. But are you seeing much change in commercial investments at all at this point?
Commercial is a bit quiet at the moment. There's not, I mean, I, from a personal point of view, I mean, if you've got an office that you're looking to sublet, it's really been on the market for months, purely because businesses have obviously, since COVID, have had to adjust, haven't they? You know, take a large business, for example, who probably had, I don't know, less, you know, they had over 10,000 square foot of office premises, and now half of the staff are remote workers. You've got this 10,000 square foot of space where you're paying high rent, high rates. You know, businesses are now obviously downsizing, aren't they? So commercial is quiet. Retail, in terms of, I'm now talking about the high street shops, smaller, you know, 2,000-4,000 square foot. The demand is still high. And I look at Peterborough, for example, you know, if you've got a small retail shop, you know, if it's available, you know, it'll be gone. But if you're looking at the larger settings, like within the shopping centres, we've all seen how shopping centres have been decimated, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, isn't it? You know, depending on what part, you know, we talk about property, we talk about investment, we talk about real estate if you're in the States, you know, and actually there's so much detail within it. It's like someone talks about the travel industry. Well, it's really broad, you know, tour operator, airline, hotels, cruise, you know, within it, there's so many different aspects. And I think, you know, the message I'm hearing from you is that, you know, yes, to a certain extent, the market is quiet, but within that, you've got a real mixed bag of people that are still investing, some that are holding, some areas that may just plateau for a while things settle, and then we'll, you know, we'll see how things kind of evolve. But, you know, I think in terms of conveyancing, one of the trends that we've I think we've noticed during our investment journey has just been how protracted the process can be. And it's probably one of the biggest frustrations. And you'll get some, you know, you might get the lovely Stephen Pardo on the phone, or you might get me on the phone nagging you, going, Naveed, why is it taking so long? You know, and it's complicated, but that's one of the problems. And it has got, I think the process has been elongated as well, you know, over the last few years. But what's the best way, Naveed, that you can shortcut as much as possible the length of time with conveyancing?
Yeah, that's I mean, law is quite old school. So if we take just an example of signing documents, it's still all wet ink, isn't it, really? I mean, now, you know, there's DocuSign. The problem is, if you're buying a property with a mortgage, the lenders aren't allowing DocuSign. So then you have that choice of getting your client to sign some documents on DocuSign, and then the mortgage deed often is signed wet ink. So it's still very old school, you know, wet ink signature, witness. I mean, personal guarantees, I mean, you've done a few of those, and it's, you know, you've got to go off and find another solicitor. That adds time and an expense, doesn't it? You know, the process, yeah, I mean, it could do with a massive reform, no doubt. You know, even land registration, you know, after you've completed, clients are often asking us, I haven't received the deeds, and well, it's still pending registration, and that takes weeks at the land registry. And, you know, we have clients who come to us who are buying, and they'll say, look, we've, you know, the agent has said that we can get this completed in 3 weeks. And I always say, okay, we'll see if that's true. You know, to have a, you know, a smooth, seamless transaction, you need the seller, you need the seller's slip. Everyone needs to be on the same page. And you can't get that. Unfortunately, you know, it just doesn't happen. You know, we have clients where the sellers have said, you know, we'll complete within 2 weeks, and we're 4 weeks in. And I remind the client, I said, didn't the seller say that they could get this done in two? It doesn't happen. It's an old fashioned system. You know, the average transaction, you know, is probably 6 to 8 weeks, the average transaction. Transactions can go on for 12, 16 weeks, sometimes even 20 weeks. Yeah, I mean, there need to be a massive reform, but you need every solicitor, you know, to be on the same page. And, you know, technology now is brilliant. You know, I love technology, but there are a lot of solicitors out there who don't like technology. So whereas I could communicate with a solicitor over email, some of the other solicitors prefer to send letters by post. It's, you know, you can only have a reform if everyone is on the same page. You know, for there to be a revolution, everyone needs to be singing from the same hymn sheet, don't they? So
yeah,
I don't, you know, unless there was an easier way of buying a property, yeah, at the moment, I don't think you're going to get a massive change to what you've already experienced.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly frustrating. You do think, my God, this is out the dark ages. Jesus, you know, it's like...
Yeah, it is, honestly, it is. Especially when it comes to, like, signing documents. You think, you know, DocuSign is so quick. But yeah, it's... Who knows? I mean, but I don't see anything changing.
Well, so let me ask this, you know, your advice to someone. Now, obviously, you know, you're a professional offering these services. So I obviously understand that. But, you know, someone that maybe is looking to get into property for the first time, or maybe is a, you know, not an overly experienced investor, or they might be buying their first home. What are some of the tips that you would recommend they put into place, partly to put themselves in the best position possible to have a smooth process and a timely process as much as they can, but also when choosing, you know, the solicitor or the conveyancer that's going to help them with the process? What are some of the, and this coming from a more neutral perspective, Nadine, in terms of what advice would you give for those kind of people, investors?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, unless you already work with a solicitor, then you're going to go with the solicitor that you've always worked with. A lot of first-time buyers don't have a solicitor contact, so they're often guided by the estate agent to use one of their recommended panel solicitors, which is fine because we also work with the estate agents and we are one of their panel lawyers. Some clients are on the internet looking for conveyances, and they're often using these volume type of outfits where you don't really get a personal touch. Now, first time buyers, most first time buyers, you need to obviously guide them through every single stage of the process. For an experienced investor like yourself, you know exactly what happens in a transaction. I mean, all you want to know is there a problem with the property? And when have we completed? Managing clients is important. I mean, my tip to anybody is go on recommendations if you can, if you have a friend or a family and they've used a solicitor, did they get on okay with that solicitor? Try to go down that route, or go with the estate agent recommended solicitor, but avoid trying to find somebody online. If you're buying a property in Peterborough, for example, and you're dealing with an outfit in Manchester, you're never going to have face-to-face contact, which is fine. But quite often some of these law firms are communicating to clients via portals. So, I know you like to speak to me, because then you can brainstorm some ideas, we can have a quick 5-10 minute discussion on the phone, everything's fine. But if you were communicating via SMS or email, there's not personal touch there. So recommendations is always the best, isn't it? Or if not, try to find somebody localish to you. Someone that you can pick up the phone and they can guide you. But the way the market is, the consumers are driven by price, aren't they? And we have existing clients who compare our quote with another quote, and they say, look, this one's cheaper, and we say, well, go with them, and they'll come back to say, oh, that was an awful experience, we could never get hold of our solicitor or conveyancer. So yeah, try to work with people that's the best tip I can give to somebody starting out. But to get a smooth transaction, I mean, it's not all in the solicitor's hands, unfortunately. It depends on the seller, it depends on the seller solicitor, it depends on you getting your mortgage. So there's various factors that come into play. So it's not all down to how quick your solicitor does. It's luck really, because the next property you buy, Jeanette, it could be completed in 2 weeks, or it could take 20 weeks. It just comes down to everyone has to be on the same page.
Well, I mean, listen, I think the, good advice, do your due diligence, get recommendations. I mean, when we started working with you, Navid, I remember coming to the office and sitting down, having a cup of tea and a chat and getting to know each other before we said, right, yeah, okay, we want you, you to represent us. And but I like personal relationships. I like the fact that I can pick up the phone to you and have a conversation, and we can just cut through things very fast, and quite immediate. So I think that personalized service definitely works for us. But wherever you are, whether people listen to this are thinking, great, I want to, work with Navid and the team at Borough Thorpe, or if they're thinking about alternative options as well, that's fine. But do your due diligence, definitely. And if you can get in front of people, if that's the kind of relationship you want, then that's always nice as well. And I always say, in the world of business and property, and any business really, it's the relationships are key. Your network is key. You know, I have people that are clients of mine now in my advisory practice that, you know, I worked with in my corporate career 20 years ago, you know, and those relationships have been nurtured and kept. So I think especially if you're looking for a long-term relationship and not just a single transactional relationship, you know, that's really important in kind of building the rapport and the understanding and having those shared values. So it's something that Chris and I have really very much appreciated with what you've helped us with, Naveed. So I can't recommend it enough.
No different to, you know, when you pick an accountant, you don't want to be chopping and changing accountants. I get obviously the first time buyers, you know, they buy a property, they're probably not going to buy another property for a few years. But in terms of the buy to let, because they're regularly purchasing the property, there needs to be an understanding. So, you know, we're not here to just do the conveyancing, you know, which is just a step-by-step process. We're here to be a part of your business, understand really what your objectives are with buying this property and how it fits in with your rental property business. You know, it's not just about, oh, we will just, you know, purchase this property for you, you get the keys and goodbye. You know, we're trying to, you know, we try to get involved and understand, you know, what you're going to get out of this property and how it fits with your portfolio and be give you any advice where we can. So it's, you know, we're set up as a boutique firm really to provide a bespoke service. Anyone can do conveyancing. You know, you could go anywhere, you could get your house purchased.
So Naveed, obviously as a business owner, you've taken the approach to kind of go for it, scale up and bring the resources in and then the business will come, which I'm sure it will do. What's been the most difficult thing for you setting up the business, would you say? And you know, obviously you talked a little bit about the professional indemnity insurance, but you know, aside from that, what are the other things that you found the most tricky to get over, which would be, you know, useful for other people that are maybe starting out setting up their own business, not necessarily a you know, a solicitor's or a conveyancing business, but those startup early days, what's been the most challenging for you?
I mean, yeah, so aside from the insurance, which is probably the biggest challenge and will always be the biggest challenge, recruitment sometimes. Certain roles are quite easy to fill and others are quite challenging. That's more linked to the current state of the economy, you know, with the cost of living crisis, because you're comfortable in a job, you're receiving a fixed salary. Do you really want to switch jobs? You know, it may not work out for you and you that salary. So what I'm finding is for certain roles, posting on Indeed or any other job boards is not working. And headhunting comes into and I've been having a chat with individuals and selling the idea that, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. But that's a challenge which I'm currently facing there, is that certain roles, those individuals are quite content with where they are. And, you know, we're a small startup business. So, you know, I don't have massive budgets to say, if you're being paid X, I'll pay you, you know, £5,000, £10,000, £15,000 more. You know, unfortunately, you don't, you know, I don't have that budget. So it's maybe selling them something else, such as career progression, or, you know, being a part of a team, you know, contributing to the business. So that's an ongoing challenge, which the recruitment for certain roles, you have to go headhunting, but it's fine because you can take your time when it comes to recruitment. So that's the current challenge which I'm facing, but it's going well so far. But yeah, it is a challenge nevertheless. That I faced. Any other challenges that we faced? IT sometimes, you know, evolving. It's evolving, isn't it? You know, so the IT system that I had in place on day one, you know, because of how quick we're scaling, we now need to change the IT system, you know. So, yeah, but it's good. These are good challenges. You know, I get to learn about IT. You know, prior to setting up the business, I was only a solicitor. I was just doing legal work. I wasn't doing things like IT, HR, accounting. You know, now all of those things have come into the mix. So it's a challenge, but IT is very important, especially, I mean, solicitor firms are prone to being hacked. So cybercrime is top of our list. So yeah, that's another challenge which is currently on my plate, is to now improve the IT, because we're scaling up quicker than I thought. We now need to change the IT. So these are fun challenges. Then, you know, the biggest challenge was insurance. I've got over that. You know, I've had my sleepless nights over that. But these day-to-day challenges, you know, in terms of recruitment, resources, facilities, they're quite fun in their own way. And you learn more, you know.
Yeah. And I think it's important, you know, as a business owner, you often have to juggle between being in the weeds, dealing with whatever's going on, the operational stuff, but you also need to be elevating yourself and thinking about the longer term, the strategy, the big decisions, the big client relationships, etc. So you're constantly, juggling this. I say it's been like a helicopter. You have to hover above, look at the horizon and be looking down and surveying what's happening from a macro perspective. But then when something happens, you need to know when to land, get involved, or an opportunity comes up that needs more attention. And then you importantly need to know when to take off. And I think that is often a big adjustment for, especially for new leaders when they're starting out. So any thoughts on that, Navid?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I'm taking everything in my stride. So right now, I'm enjoying everything. Ask me again in 12 months' time, I might say, oh, I hate doing that. I hate doing this. But at the moment, everything is new and I'm enjoying it. And it's helping me grow as a person now. Obviously, I can never give up being a lawyer. And I enjoy doing that. And I still do transactions. But now that they're obviously there's staff in place, I can start to delegate certain parts of transactions and only do the things which are probably the most enjoyable part of a transaction. But I haven't fully let go, if I'm honest. It's hard to fully let go of everything, but with the current trajectory, and I was having this conversation with the staff because the staff are very excited about the growth and new starters joining the business over the next 2-3 months. I said, eventually a time will come where I will probably be sat in the corner in the office, probably not engaging with anybody, because then the systems will be in place. But right now, today, you know, I'm a solicitor, I'm the managing partner, I'm the business owner. I also look after the office, you know. So that's more my OCD, but if something's not in the right place, you know, I'll get the Hoover out. Yeah. You know, I'll mop the floor if it needs mopping. Or clean the kitchen. You know, I'm doing everything at the moment. I don't mind doing that. You know, I don't mind getting stuck in. So at the moment, everything is going fine. I'm enjoying it. I'm taking it on board. I'm slowly letting things go and don't need to do that anymore. But, you know, I know in 12 months' time, because that's the target I've got, is I should be in a position to step away from a lot of these duties that I'm currently doing, and maybe just focus on certain clients, You know, I enjoy doing commercial property, you know, and kind of oversee the business, you know, rather than getting stuck into a particular transaction. So at the moment, it's great. It's I'm enjoying it. I'm learning, you know, and taking it on board. But in 12 months' time, or 12 to 18 months' time, you know, I'm expecting to start to delegate a lot of these tasks out, and kind of then just oversee, and step in if I have to step in, which hopefully I won't need to, because, you know, my vision is always to recruit experienced, talented lawyers who are competent in what they do. So hopefully I shouldn't need to step in. But yeah, if I ever have to pick up a Hoover, I'll always pick up a Hoover. You know, I think one of the failures of a lot of business owners is that they're not able to relate to their staff. Some business owners, you may have met business owners yourself who don't relate to the staff. I mean, one example is, you know, we do a McDonald's Friday. So yeah, at the moment it's everything's going well and I'm enjoying it.
Good, good. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see how the journey evolves, how the business grows. You know, I think it's a really, really cool thing that you've done. I think the timing's good for you, and I know that you're going to really succeed. So I'm going to come to some final questions, Naveed. But before I do that, where can people find you if they want to, you know, speak to you around either maybe career opportunities or becoming a client, and you can help them with, you know, all of their conveyancing needs? Where, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, so obviously the website is the first point of call, which is www.boroughthorpe.co.uk, and our contact details are all on there. LinkedIn is another popular way for more business to business contact, but also career opportunities. I'm finding that I'm spending a lot of time on LinkedIn. So that is working. Otherwise, in person, in our Peterborough office, and we also have a office in London, so that's also available where I can have meetings. So yeah, either direct contact and my email address, people can take from our website, or LinkedIn is seems to be. But you know, I also share my personal number, as you know. And for me, that's the easier way. I think WhatsApp is the way forward, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it certainly helps when we want to track you down fast.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just you can communicate throughout the day, you know,
exactly.
and you can just conversations can flow better, can't they?
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever really exchanged much in email threads, have we? So yeah, I do share my WhatsApp number with clients, and we can communicate throughout the day. So yeah, different ways of communicating. But yeah, if anyone wanted to reach out to me, then they can take my contact details off our website, and yeah, happy to have a chat with anyone, whether it's work related or career opportunities.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we'll put all of the details in the show notes as well. So if you're watching this on YouTube or you listen to it on the podcast, Brave Bold Brilliant, you'll be able to track down Naveed there as well. So fantastic. So Naveed, you'll have had loads of advice over the years, you know, some of it maybe more recently, some of it in the past. Can you think of the best piece of advice that you've been given personally?
Relating to me setting up my law firm, and it's a long story, and I'm going to obviously shorten it. Initially, when I had the idea of setting up the law firm, I did reach out to a couple of people, you know, whether they were interested in joining in, and setting this up together. And as you, it's life, isn't it? Really, you know, some people just take you along for the, you know, for a ride, don't they? And I wasted some time in speaking to these individuals. And the advice I received from a very close friend of mine was to go for it on your own. And as scary as it was, obviously opening up a law firm on your own, that I believed in the advice. And I'm very fortunate that it's worked out so far. So that's the best advice I've received, because right now this is my life. You know, I've obviously received so much advice during my life, but right now this business is everything to me now. And so the best advice I've received was, despite the challenges in the early days, you know, the advice I received was to go and set it up on your own. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm fortunate that, you know, it's going well. So yeah, that's the best advice I received. But you know, once this business is more stable, then there's probably other advice I've received, you know, in previous years. But what's relevant right now to me was, you know, to despite the challenges, to go and set this up on your own. And it's worked out okay so far.
Fantastic. Control your own destiny. So that's what you've done, which is brilliant.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Exactly.
Naveen, if you look back over the last year, can you describe that year in a word? And if you can, what would it be and why?
Exciting. You know, it's been an amazing year. You know, in terms of setting up the business, you know, and we look forward to, you know, better years ahead, you know. But in terms of everything that happened last year, because everything was new, you know, setting the office, you know, working with tradesmen, painters, electricians, you know, it was fun. It was exciting. You know, you learn a lot, obviously. You learn about prices. And whether you've been overcharged or not, to setting up the IT, getting the office furniture and you know, designing the website and, you know, putting systems in place and initial recruitment, you know, everything was exciting, you know.
Yeah.
It's probably going to get more boring now because it's only exciting the first time, isn't it? Generally in life, anything you do is always exciting the first time you do it. But it was, everything was brand new. Never had done it before. So it was really exciting. So that's how I would describe my 2023.
Brilliant.
But for 2024, it's all about growth.
Lovely. So we've got a 2024 word as well already. So I love it. We've got exciting and growth. Perfect. Love it.
Last year was exciting. Now this year is about growth. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. And Naveen, the podcast is called Brave, Bold, Brilliant. So when you hear that, what does it mean to you?
You know, brave, you know, I'm being brave in setting up what is a small high street law firm. You know, taking into account with what's happening in my industry, you know, that's a brave thing to do, because a lot of small high street law firms, they're just disappearing. Some aren't getting their insurance renewed, and others are merging with another practice. So that's quite brave. And moving on to bold, you know, that's also quite bold, because I'm doing something which I'm going against the market. Now, some may say you're stupid and you're going to fail. So what? You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? At least I've tried. I've done it. So that's also bold. But my growth plans, especially, you know, we've only really been going a couple of months. And in terms of the current headcount in the office, we'll take account what's coming in the next 2-3 months. You know, and the target I have in mind in terms of recruitment by the end of 2024, it's quite bold, you know, and it's something which I picked up on earlier, where, you know, some startups will only recruit as and when the business has a need for it. I'm doing the opposite, which is no, let's just keep recruiting, get the staff in. So yeah, that's quite bold. Because it's not the safe route, is it?
Certainly isn't. And listen, Naveed, you're going to be hugely successful. I know you are. And I wish you every, you know, luck in the world. Not that you need luck, but, you know, always helpful to have a bit of luck on our side as well. So thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing chatting with you.
I've really enjoyed it. And this is also a first time of me being on a podcast. So I've always watched podcasts as much as I can, but I've never been a guest on a podcast. So, you know, this is all part of the journey, you know, for me and the firm. So again, this is something new and I've really enjoyed this. And, you know, hope that I can be a guest but also host podcasts in the future. Who knows?
Excellent. Well, I will come on your podcast, Naveed, when the time is right.
You will. You definitely will, Jeanette. You
definitely will. Fantastic. Thanks, Naveed.
No worries, Jeanette.
I really hope you've enjoyed Brave, Bold, Brilliant. Don't forget to subscribe and share with all your friends. And if you've enjoyed listening, I'd love it if you'd leave me a 5-star review.